Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Rosenblum.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake. Come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK. Welcome into baseball flyover country where the Cubs suck, the White Sox suck, the Central Division suck. We got sucked into believing these teams were real, and it turned out it was just a whole big fraud perpetrated on baseball America. And as we start Saturday Suckage, there is this for those of you who invest, who have the Red Zone channel, who plan out your Sundays around the NFL. Breaking news on the scores brought to you by Pennzoil, motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Breaking news from Adam Schefter of ESPN. Patriots Chiefs has been postponed, maybe Monday, maybe Tuesday. Who knows? That breaking news is a result of this breaking news less than an hour ago. Cam Newton being added to the COVID-19 reserve list. He tested positive. He's at least out for this game, apparently, whenever it's played. Hi, Mark Grody.
Stevie, hello. First of all, that sucks because I was looking very much forward to watching Bill Belichick, the New England Patriots, Cam Newton against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, because I just thought that would have been all sorts of intriguing because Bill Belichick probably would have stopped them for about a half or so. So unfortunately, in my brain, that's what goes through my brain first. Secondly, is good for the NFL. They're not screwing around. They canceled the game. This would be a very tempting game for those inside to say, let's just play through. Let's be the NFL and play through because we play through everything, the draft, the combine. We are the damn NFL. We can get this. This can happen. These are marquee franchise, and they're not doing it. So good for the NFL. And the sports has shown itself to be extremely durable throughout all this. Baseball, we made it to the playoffs, the bubble, and the NBA and the NHL has been terrific, and good for the NFL to do what they had to do here right away.
And guys, I must say, and this is rather low on the priority list, I know, but just devastating news for my fantasy team where Cam Newton's my quarterback.
Isn't that amazing? Like, at least we could admit to ourselves, studs, that we're shallow about these kinds of things. Like, the first thing I should think about is Cam Newton okay? Is he okay? Is everybody okay? But what goes through my brain is, man, I was looking forward to Patriots Chiefs.
What is your team's name, Studs? Please tell me it's the Trash Pandas.
No, I don't have. All right, this is.
Goodbye, Studs.
Damn
this
it!
Team,
we are no longer interested.
This team predates my working on this show. So, my team name in that particular league is actually a reference you won't understand. It's Wubba Lubba Dub Dub. It's something from Rick and Morty.
That's ridiculous.
Well,
and for some reason I can't get into Rick and Morty.
Teams change names, like the Rocket City Trash Pandas change names too. There are teams that the Florence Yalls change names, so you're allowed to change names.
And I'll make an adjustment and I'll figure out a league where I need a new team name.
Such a fraud. You're as much a fraud as the Central Divisions were. Gosh. All right, so we'll
burn.
Yeah, we're broadcasting live right here, right now from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We welcome you to the Tech Zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. The Rosen Hyundai Tech Zone number is the same as the phone number for breaking phone calls to talk to us on the air, 312-644-6767. So the Cubs sucked. They need to be broken up. And when Theo talks Monday, do you think he'll talk about the season, Mark, or do you think he'll be announcing his resignation? Why are you
that
laughing?
Why would he resign? He just signed a
because what he's
deal.
Doing
was
is losing. Because
well,
what he's doing is
a...
this: he's approaching his 10th year. He said, 10th year, you're done." So he's done nine. Since 2016, they've sucked in the postseason, and the postseason is all that matters. They just went 1 for 8 with runners in scoring position, left 9 men on base. In an elimination game at home against the Marlins, the heart of their order, 2, 3, 4, 5, Rizzo, Contreras, Schwarber, Bryant, went 0 for 12. You throw in Bryant, Baez, Contreras, Rizzo, and Schwarber, and they went 0 for 16 at home in an elimination game. The heart of the order is brought to you by the Graceland Cemetery at 4001 Clark Street. This is Theo's team. This is the team he stuck with. He drafted, he traded for, he brought in, he stuck with. He is not making any moves. And this team is failing miserably. They started off 13-3. They have sucked since then. So you wonder why he might be leaving?
I didn't realize how seriously I should have been taking that Ian Happ home run in this series, because it was the only run that had I known that would have been such a big deal, I would have stood up from my couch while I was watching it and given it a curtain call, because that was it, man. He had what? Ian Happ had four. Look, you're absolutely right. The Cubs have been god-awful in the postseason, and this year in particular was just absolutely wretched with the fourth and fifth innings yesterday. Even this is how bad it got yesterday. Even when they should have scored, they didn't. As in the fourth inning, first and second, nobody out. You had Chris Bryant lining out to second. Tough luck. Then you had the Contreras getting thrown out at the plate on the Jason Hayward broken bat single, where Matt Joyce makes this beautiful throw, excellent execution by the catcher, and even in those, and then of course Baez pops out. A little bit more traditional in the fifth inning when they had first and second and one out, the Rizzo strikeout, the Contreras hilarious hit by pitch, and then the Schwarber pop out after that. Actually, the hilarious Contreras hit by pitch came in the eighth inning when Yimi Garcia was playing with him. But anyway, absolutely, it's been awful. But to answer your question, and I'm guessing it was a half sarcastic question, of course he's not going to resign, because it's all about legacy, and he ain't going to. Theo Epstein, if he was to quit, it would look like he was running away and leaving a big mess behind, because that's what he will have done if he was to resign on Monday, as you suggested.
Maybe not. I mean, his legacy is he won the World Series.
That's true.
He did the
That's
first
true.
Thing in 108 years. He won the
You're
World
right.
Series. There's no denying that. He put together that team, and if you look at anything that he did, it's that. Nothing will ever be that big. Whether he runs away, I guess you could look at it that way if he resigns. He said when he took the job, 10 years is it. So he'd be going into his 10th year. And maybe he's that guy who doesn't want to leave it in such a crappy situation. But you know what? With playoff, he's not unfamiliar with being out of a job after some playoff, stunning playoff misery, some kind of late failure. And you look at this, and every logical thing tells you, by and large, these guys are young. They can hit. They won a World Series. They have this experience that nothing can explain why they suck at home, why they suck in the postseason. Look at the home playoff games this team has choked away. Look at the team you expected so much out of. There was the Rockies, the Brewers. Now two to the Marlins, a team that had 18 players test positive for COVID-19. They had 17 new players. They're managed by an idiot who let the shortstop decide whether they were going to play after an outbreak of the team. And the Marlins come in here and Sixto Sanchez just keeps firing high fastballs. See, that's another part of it. Theo contends launch angle is real, and he keeps firing hitting coaches. And other teams know launch angle is real, and they know how to get the Cubs out, and they have been neutered in the postseason offensively. So what's working? What recommends him sticking around?
Well, his ability to rebuild. That is what recommends. I mean, he came here when it was a mess, made it a bigger mess, and then turned it into a World Series championship by being ahead of the curve. He has been ahead of the curve at every stop in his career. So based on his past, what he has done to get ahead of things in baseball, why wouldn't you think that he could do it again? As you said, not every year was perfect in Boston. There was failure for him in Boston. It ended ugly for him in Boston. And then he got ahead of the curve again. What he did to build the Cubs was right at the time. He built the Cubs with launch angle. He built it with a bunch of guys that could hit the ball out of the park. He started that trend of, let's get guys who can crush the ball. And don't worry about the leadoff hitter. Don't worry about your speedy number two hitter who can bunt and push the guy over to second. But don't worry about all that crap. Just get a bunch of guys who could thump. And it worked. It worked in 2015. It worked in 2016. And I guess you could say it worked in 2017, too, because they did get into the National League Championship Series despite getting stomped by the Dodgers that year. So he did figure something out. I don't know why you wouldn't trust Theo Epstein to figure something out new. And I think when he looks at the team, he probably looks at it the way a lot of us do. When you look at the core of Chris Bryant, Kyle Schwarber, Javier Baez, Wilson Contreras, Hayward, throw all those guys in there. You look at that and you say, how can this not be it? How can this not work, especially the way it worked in 2016? But it's not it. It's not working. And we've seen it now for a few years. You know, let's just say 2017 was the last success, because in the last 3 years it hasn't worked. That's enough. And I would guess, Steve, that if things had been different this year with coronavirus and financial restrictions and all of that, we may have seen a different team on the field this year, too.
You know, that's quite possible. I certainly see that. My question would be, you make an excellent point about the way Theo seems to be ahead of the curve, or if he's not ahead of it, he's better at managing the margins to make them major contributing factors to success. And my first thought was, what was he waiting for? And if he was waiting for anything, this year and next year will be hamstrung by exactly what you brought up, that what COVID-19 has done is neuter revenue streams. So you might not just see what these Cubs postseason failures and choking hitters did now, this week, these two games, but you may see it run back next year because of finances, because that's all they have. That's all they can do is run it back, let guys play out the contracts. If they don't arrive at, you don't know, like Rizzo said afterwards, you don't know where the baseball's going to be, where this team's going to be, where the country's going to be. And money has everything to do with it. The revenue streams available to the Cubs, to to the those that Tom Ricketts wants to use, those that he allows Theo Epstein to use, there may not be an extension for Baez. There may not be a trade for Bryant, because teams may look at the Cubs and say, well, you know what, we'll deal with him on the free agent. we'll wait till he gets to become a free agent. And the other guys who are available in free agency and then Contreras the year after, you think that you just look at what money has done, what revenue sources have done, and who knows what this choke does to Marquee. I mean, who's going to sign up for Marquee until God knows whenever they play baseball next? And
well,
no one's sure when that's going to be.
Here's a dealio. The only way
dealio.
Yeah, I'm going to go dealio on you just to keep the tone playful. I'm going to say dealio. The only way the Cubs are going to get value for the guys that they would trade if they are to break things up is if they were to do it mid-season next year. So you talk about pleasing the fans, assuming that there are fans next year. You have this group of Cubs will be forever loved, you know, because, you know, I don't care how bad they've been. The Schwarbers, the Chris Bryants, Rizzo, all these guys are going to get 25-minute standing ovations 30 years from now when they're doing the reunion tours, and half of them are probably working in this town making money off of their popularity.
They're all going to have the former Bears luncheons.
Absolutely.
Every former Cub gets a restaurant.
100%. Hey. 100%. This era will never be looked upon as a failure. It just never will be. So, yeah, the only way they're going to get value is if they're to trade parts off next year for teams that are desperate, or not desperate, teams that are winning, and they're like, hell yeah, we could use Chris Bryant, right? Hell yeah, we could use Javier Baez for our stretch run. That's the only way that's going to happen. So if finances are bad and you can't make moves this offseason, unfortunately, that might be the ideal way to do it. So you would go into next year with a core of players who clearly is not bad. They won the division this year. They're still good. They're just not next level good anymore. And who knows, if you were to keep it together, maybe they do slip through one more time. I doubt that would happen. But maybe the best way to, quote, rebuild this team on the fly is to keep the parts and trade them off, you know, next season if the Cubs don't run away with the division or do something crazy and look great next year. What do you think of that?
Well, I think there's two things. The my problem with I understand the point of a trade deadline getting value, but you wouldn't get value, because value means, in my world, getting value for a Bryant or a Baez is the acquiring team would have to desperately want to pay him for an extension. And money's an issue, revenue's an issue.
Not necessarily. Why would they have to want to pay him? Why would they want to have to pay him an extension?
Because that would mean more for the Cubs. That would mean more coming back for the Cubs. What Bryant brings you, if the team is intent on signing him to an extension and making him a core piece of the future, is more valuable than a rental. That's the difference.
Yeah, but there's plenty of examples throughout baseball history where guys are just rented to be with a team to help them win a World Series.
It might well be, but I think greater value. But here's the other thing. When you say the Cubs are good, and this goes for the Sox too, we think they are. We're very close to this. But I think we've been suckered in a lot of ways. I think these playoffs, they're only two games. And I understand this has been a lousy season to try to evaluate in a macro sense. It's really hard to step back. We're involved in it intimately on a daily basis, so thrilled to have it. And yet, you look at what the Central Divisions did in the playoffs, and it's a joke. It's an absolute embarrassment. The false positive that we saw from the Cubs starting 13-3, and maybe a false positive from the White Sox. The NL Central went 1-8 in the playoffs. The AL Central went 1-6. The White Sox had one win, and that's it. That's 2-14 from the teams that played each other all season, and only that. So the division series are the East against the East, the West against the West. So we're baseball flyover state. So you wonder where, what good, how do you evaluate this Cubs team? And how good is Darvish's Cy Young free agency, Cy Young candidacy? And then you look at the White Sox and go, well, everything seems to be on the rise. Everything seems to be following a profile, an arc that we're familiar with. And it looks good, but they played against lousy competition, lousy postseason competition, which is really all that matters. And you wonder if the right manager is there for that team. And so, really, how legit is that?
To your point, it almost felt like both of the divisions, and I'll start with the National League Central, were starting to normalize themselves just when the season ended. The Cubs seemed to, obviously, you know, well before the end of the season, the Cubs' 13-3-ness had vanished. But you finally start to see the Cincinnati Reds do what they were supposed to do, even though they struggled mightily. And that was a team that I picked to win the division. You started to see, well, the St. Louis Cardinals, they had an amazing season, all things considered. The Pirates sucked, horrible. They stayed normal the entire time. But if the season had gone on, I do wonder if you would have seen Cincinnati rise to the top and get to 12 to 15 games over 500 at some point in time. So there is that. In the American League Central, the normalizing part was probably the Cleveland Indians, because they looked like they were not going to be a factor early on in the year. It was the Twins and the White Sox and not the Royals, but it looked like the Indians were going to, I mean, and who, like, look, with the Indians, with the pitching that they had, they probably were going to rise to the top of that division. So I there's some legitimacy in what you're saying, and I think it's amazing what the Cubs and the White Sox have done for us, for when I say us, I mean the media and for the fans. They did just enough this year to keep us into every damn game this year. There was not one game that felt inconsequential. There was not one game where you weren't like, okay, this game means something. This at bat means something. And they did just not enough to keep us completely fascinated every day of this offseason, because there are amazing storylines for two teams that won this year. You've got questions about the manager on the South side, and you've got questions about virtually every core player on the North side, despite both teams having won. It's a pretty amazing trick that they both pulled this year for us.
Let's talk about, we need to take a break. We were here on Saturday Suckage. It's perfect to be talking about Chicago baseball, the MLB's flyover section of its major operation. Let's talk about that manager and what happened and what will happen. And let's talk, let's compare the Sox to a team that is, that we spend a lot of time talking about, the comparing the Sox to the Cubs.
Yay.
Well, we had the wrong team, so we'll talk about that too. All right, I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Rohde. If you want to chime in on this, our phone number was, maybe it still is, I don't know. We have a breaking phone call sounder. 312-644-6767. That's the same number as our text line. Later on in the show, we'll talk with Jim Margalis of Sox Machine, and we'll get into more in-depth with him. We'll also talk some Bears later on as they go in with a new quarterback, because that's just what the Bears do. He's Mark Rohde. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage, of course. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm in a lot, man. You know, he's just loud. You know, he's near everyone of those guys to, you know, go out and compete, you know, the way they want to and allow us to be ourselves. You know, ever since I got here, you know, he's been nothing but great. And, you know, just allow me to be myself and allow me to play the game the way I want to. And we made it this far. So, you know, we just got to keep working, man. Keep working. You know, I think he's the right guy.
Yeah, keep working and working. Hope things work out. It's Tim Anderson in the wake of the White Sox exit from the postseason. They had the lone AL Central playoff win. They lost to the Oakland A's. And, you know, in a game where Ricky Renteria was resoundingly ripped and, you know what, there was enough choking to go around in that game. It went far beyond the manager. Maybe the manager got too much. But the presumptive MVP, Jose Abreu, choked in his last two at-bats of the series with runners on base in situations in which he had succeeded all season. And the veteran starter they signed to be an anchor, he failed in game two. That's the game. That's like why they get him. And then the manager tried that whole opener thing, didn't have a third starter. So is that his fault? He didn't really have a third starter. Dane Dunning, is that different from Dylan Cease? Is that anything he could have done with what the general manager gave him? And the whole thing, I believe Ricky Renteria, who's really not adept at this kind of stuff, had a good plan. Garrett Crochet gets hurt. He has to come out of the game. Everything changes. And then his use of relief pitchers, the thinking was fine. You're going to have the same idea as Andrew Miller coming in to save a game in the sixth inning. He felt he needed to save that game early to give his team a chance and then manage on his way out. The major flaw is that Ricky Renteria didn't learn the whole Rodon garbage. You can't do that. He made the same mistake. He made it less than a week later. You just can't bring that guy in. Why do you do that? But he trusted. He went with his reliables. So I think there's a lot of choking to go on. I think Ricky Renteria really took a beating that was easy to do on a manager when he goes to a bullpen game. But I think the plan, I mean, I looked at it, tried to step back and say, okay, if this were presented to me beforehand, would I buy into it? And then I also don't know what Rick Hahn thought of that. That's the bigger question, isn't it?
I'm with you on one out of your 2 points. I'm with you on what Ricky Renteria did, early in the game. Because as it turned out, nobody needed to see more of Matt Foster. And quite frankly, as good as Cody Hoyer was up until he gave up the two-run homer, he gave up a two-run homer. So, you know, putting Bummer in, I felt a sense of comfort at that point because it felt like things had come off the rails, right? With your starter, Dane Dunning, not lasting. With Garrett Crochet, your future, having an arm injury. You needed some comfort food in there. And I thought that Aaron Bummer provided that at that point. At least this is the way I'm feeling as I'm watching the game.
Bummer is your mac and cheese? Is that how it works?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. he's a rotisserie chicken with blue cheese. Okay. That's when I feel comfortable.
Idea.
Right? Oh, God, dude, try this.
Rotisserie chicken with blue cheese. Everything with blue cheese is great, but I haven't
absolutely.
Okay,
oh, absolutely.
There we go.
Oh, by the way, real quick, this is some breaking Bears news. Wow, this affects my life. Bears kickoff tomorrow has been moved to 3:25 per Jay Glazer. Bears kickoff, 3:25.
Is that because of Patriots-Chiefs?
I'm assuming that, but I don't know that. This is all the tweet says, so I don't know if there's anything more to add to that, but that's fascinating. All right, so let me just set my alarm here. Let me push that back a little bit. There we go. Interesting. Okay, 3:25 kickoff tomorrow for the Bears and Colts, and I can't imagine that it's anything but what you just said, that because of the postponement of their other 3 o'clock games. So this is what the network is. And why not? Bears are 3-0. Colts are good. It's a good game. It's a good matchup.
Right. So, I got to. We got to check with Spilkas to see what that does to the score of Bet Rivers pregame show.
Oh,
we
yeah.
know it has Hub and Olin and Patrick Manley and Mark Grody. And
right.
we don't know. We have to get that schedule nailed down. But that's something for Trash Panda to do while we blather on about the White Sox. And,
yeah, let me make my other point on the White Sox. So the Bear, we'll follow up on the Bears. We'll let you know. But the Bears game is 3:25 tomorrow. The other thing is the Carlos Rodon factor. You're right. That was like when I saw him come in. I'm like, what the hell is going on? This again? This hasn't worked. This Carlos Rodon from back in their intra squad games when the White Sox were playing the White Sox. Carlos Rodon was a train wreck. I remember watching those games. Carlos Rodon was never good this year. He should never have entered any games this year whatsoever. That's on Rick Hahn. That has nothing to do. This is you could say maybe that was Ricky Renteria the first time you put him in the other day and it didn't work out. Okay, thought that Ricky's an idiot. And I don't even believe it was Ricky's fault then, too. I still blame Hahn. But if that was a horrible move, then Hahn would have said, you know what, Ricky, don't do that. As a matter of fact, we're sending him to Schaumburg to watch these playoff games. And they didn't. So how does that land on anybody but the general manager? I'm sorry. If he gave him to use, if they didn't want him to use him, they would have told him not to use him. That is 100% on Rick Hahn.
Right. I don't know if Rick Hahn told him this is, we have to go back to that again. We have to find out. We have to see. I don't know what Rick Hahn's participation was in the entire plan. If Ricky Renteria says, this is how we have to play it, this is who my starter is, or maybe he's told by Rick Hahn, this is who your starter is. However it happens, Rick Hahn has to know something about this. You don't want your boss to be surprised, right? Isn't that a general rule? No matter what job you do, no matter what business you're in, your boss should never be surprised. So we assume that Rick Hahn knew this is the way it was going to go. This was his starter. This was what he was. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. We apparently have a breaking phone call. Trash Panda?
Fellas, Chip in Villa Park is our first phone call. Chip in Villa Park.
Oh, Chip.
All right, Chip, he dialed 312-644-6767, and he has a breaking phone call for the Saturday Suckage Show. Welcome to Saturday Suckage, Chip.
Thank you. Proud to be part of the Suckage today. I don't know exactly how breaking it is, but my question is, as I hear the talk of what's going on, and I compare our situation, ours being with Chicago teams, Cubs, White Sox, in comparison to teams like the Yankees, Dodgers, Astros, what is it about those organizations in which there's a consistency that you can place those teams in the conversation for World Series contention every year, yet you can't necessarily do that with the teams that we have? And although they're very good, perhaps would in the Cubs situation, contending for titles, for the division, and maybe they're up there, why is it that there wasn't an expectation for that team to get to a World Series this year, but yet the Dodgers, you can say that about the Yankees. What is it about those organizations and how they're run that separates them and puts them on a tier that the Cubs and White Sox just cannot seem to attain themselves to? I look at the Cubs as the 85 Bears. You know,
They might be there, Chip. The 2016 Cubs might be the baseball version of the 85 Bears, but Mark, I think Chip sounds like an audio doppelganger of Tom Ricketts. I got that feeling.
He kind of does. That was
listening to Tom Ricketts. But first of all, half of that theory is wrong. The Cubs are always looked at as World Series contenders. They have been since, at least playoff contenders, since 2015. Joe Maddon doesn't come in to ride, the Pittsburgh Pirates. He comes in to win, and he talked about playoffs from the opening shot in a beer press conference. And then they succeeded faster than everyone thought and have failed more miserably than anyone expected. And that's a true thing. If you're wondering why we're wondering whether the deal's been up. And the other part is the White Sox are just now getting their chip, so I don't think half your question's wrong. We have another breaking phone call, Trash Panda?
We do. Nate on I-290 is up next.
Nate, welcome to Saturday Suckage.
Yeah, I don't know how exciting my phone call is for that exciting music, but I just want to say, as a Cubs fan, we all feel upset. It's not like it snuck up on us. The Cubs, you know, they got out of the gate quick, and then the whole second half of the season, they stunk it up. And you didn't see any adjustments. You didn't see any inside-out swings. Almost nobody on the field was choking up on the bat, you know.
They haven't done that for Nate. I appreciate the call. I feel your pain. I don't want you to keep talking because you're driving. And anyone talking about the Cubs' massive offensive failures behind the wheel of a car is actually driving a weapon. So we just want you to take a breath, and we'll talk for you. And the Cubs have had this kind of offense that has been broken since the middle of 2018. Theo said it then. He said launch angle is real. How is it supposed to be fixed? By firing the hitting coach every year? You're not changing your philosophy. You're bringing in same guy who's going to be, maybe they'll listen to him, maybe they won't. They're not going to take two and hit to right. They're not going to do that. These are the same guys who swing at high fastballs and chase big breaking pitches, and they have three true outcomes, and the truest outcome ever is the Cubs are a failed offense when it really matters in the postseason. Mark, I don't see how anybody argues that.
Yeah, a couple things here. First of all, officially the Bears and Colts will kick off at 3:25 tomorrow, and that is because of being moved into the marquee 3 o'clock start because the Chiefs and the Patriots have been banged. And if you didn't hear about that, that's because Cam Newton tested positive for COVID-19. So I'm sure they will use something, the phraseology, overabundance of caution, as we are hearing about all sorts of people in the United States of America these days. I do need to look, the phone calls are coming so furiously right now that I didn't even have a chance to react to what the previous caller said. Right. And to answer the question about you're right, the Cubs are in a position to compete for a World Series every year. The difference with the Cubs and the Dodgers is that the Dodgers are willing to spend $1 billion a year. They spare zero expenses. That's just the Dodgers' way. And then the guy who said, too, that it's the 85 Bears, I got comments on that because I feel like when people say that the Cubs are the 85 Bears, they feel like that's a disparaging comment. There's no greater compliment than to refer to any team, let alone the Cubs, as the 85 Bears. When you think of the 85 Bears, you think of it's 100% good. There's nobody ever who would think of the 85 Bears would think of that as a fail. It's not like saying the 69 Cubs or the 84 Cubs or the 03 Cubs. When you say 85 Bears, it's nothing but a good thing. They are beloved endlessly by the fans, and every one of those Bears players are celebrities to this day. And I get it, what you're saying, that they didn't get back to the mountaintop, but that is considered, the Bears are who they are to this day because of what happened in the 1980s. So I think we need to find a better way to disparage this Cubs team than to refer to them as one of the most successful franchises Chicago has ever had. So
I don't think so. I disagree, and here's why. They won, and they were expected to win more, and they found ways to lose.
You don't look back on the Bears and say, oh, that was horrible. You look back on it and say, that was Ditka. That was the Bears. That was McMahon. You look like, I understand what you're saying. The Bears probably should have won again, but there's nobody who looks back on the 80s Bears. I mean, it's like it's a sidebar to it. It's, God, that was awesome for 2 hours, and then for 5 minutes, it's, well, probably could have won more. That's what the Cubs will have been looked at 30 years from now. People will be looking back on this Cubs year and say, yep, I remember when. That 2015, that was incredible. 2016, I was at one of the World Series. I mean, it will be looked at as nothing but pristine with a five-minute conversation about how they should have won more games.
Well, they should have won more games. They should have won more championships. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we should talk about the Bears. Now that their game has changed, they're still going to play the game. We'll talk with someone who will be there tomorrow. That's you, Mark Grody.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Saturday Suckage continues. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
we're in a position where it is a big position, and it's a switch where you have one guy that took a lot of reps in training camp, and now here he is. He hasn't taken any snaps other than last week, and so you have a full week to prepare, and things are, you know, what they are offensively for us. But we just kind of go about the weekly schedule. We go about what we're doing. We stick within this offense, and there's some things that we might do a little different here or there and some things that we do the same. But really, until we get through the game and get a good feel for how things went, it's kind of hard to know exactly how much excitement we could have. I just think right now we're so focused on the Colts that we're just trying to just play our game and focus on us.
Well, when that game is going to be played is now news. Mark Rohde, Steve Rosenblum with you, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. So, Mark, as Nick Foles becomes the 24th Bears starting quarterback in the last 20 years.
Wow.
When will Nick Foles make his starting debut? Clue everybody in. Help us out here.
Well, his starting debut has been moved from noon tomorrow to 3:25 tomorrow. Bears and Colts from Soldier Field tomorrow, starting at 3:25. They have changed this game because it was supposed to have been in that time slot, the New England Patriots against the Kansas City Chiefs. That game has been postponed due to COVID-19 positive tests for Cam Newton, maybe others too. So out of an abundance of caution, they have decided to get that game off and put the Bears on into the more primetime slot against the Colts. So yes, that is what's going to happen tomorrow. What I'm looking forward to, Stevie Sunshine, in that, yep, that game tomorrow for the Bears, is watch the very first Bears offensive drive tomorrow. I'm talking about the first one, the scripted plays. Because I think back to when Matt Nagy, his very first drive with Mitchell Trubisky in 2018 in Green Bay, when they marched right down the field and you're like, wow, what the hell? And I think that you're going to see something similar to that when you have two minds who work similarly in Nick Foles and Matt Nagy and then all of the other coaches around them, that I think you're going to see something really nice on the Bears' first drive. I don't expect it to keep up like that. It's not like the Bears are going to go on and score 48 points, but that's what I think should be focused on, is that scripted first drive could be pretty.
Well, I think there are other things to focus on as well. I would like the fact that all remains a mystery, and it's not, you're not playing to your tendencies, is what makes the scripted first drives the most interesting part. But eventually you're going to have to play football.
Yes,
and
sir.
Playing football against the Colts is a difficult proposition for a kind of a wonky Bears offense. You're not sure what you're going to get. You think you're going to get something better now. So we'll take a break here. On the other side, Mark, I want to get your thoughts on where this goes when it becomes a football game and not just sort of an audition script. We will discuss that after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.